About a year ago, we had a lesson in which we looked at the real perseverance of the saints. And this is looking at it from the perspective of how that in the Calvinist doctrine there is an acronym that represents their belief structure called TULIP. And each letter, T on through P, represents different aspects of the Calvinist doctrine. T represents total depravity, whereas P at the end of TULIP represents perseverance of the saints. And according to the Calvinist doctrine, the perseverance of the saints is the concept that once I become saved, I can't be lost. Once I'm in a state of saved, in that state of grace, nothing I do, nothing that happens, nothing that I say or think can cause me to lose that salvation. As I said, about a year ago, we looked at the concept of the perseverance of the saints from the aspect of the characteristics that we find in the New Testament that the servant of God must have within their character. We talk about steadfast faith and patience and discipline and laboring in love, determination. And all of those characteristics that we see defined for us regarding a servant of God in the New Testament help us to understand that this is what God wants His people to be. And the real perseverance of the saints describes an individual who not only is serving God in spirit and in truth, but also is seeking and determined to remain faithful no matter what happens. We looked at the definition of perseverance, and we're going to look at the definition again this morning. And we're going to look at the concept of the real perseverance of the saints, but instead of looking at it from specific characteristics, we're going to look at it from aspects of life. Perseverance, what we consider perseverance, a modern definition of perseverance, is steady persistence in a course of action. Steady persistence in a purpose, a state, in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. Especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. When we talk about perseverance, we talk about patience. Patience is what is shown in our enduring. Perseverance is that inner quality that produces the patience. Patience is what is seen, it's what is shown by my conduct, but perseverance is the character within that helps me to endure. It's that determination, that insistence. But the term in the New Testament means to be steadfast, which carries the same concept, but it means to continue steadfastly in, for instance, serving God. To continue steadfastly and give unremitting care to it. And so when we talk about the real perseverance of the saints, when we talk about the character of a Christian, of a servant of God, how is that character then applied into situations in life that we face that then bring about the need to persevere? Well, we can count the ways, can't we? We can list over and over the times in life that we face obstacles, that we face adversity, that we face trial and sorrow. Perseverance is that quality, that character within us that has been taught from the Scriptures to demand that we continue to be faithful in spite of it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy, and he's in the midst of giving Timothy quite a bit of advice and guidance, not only in being a young evangelist, but also in being a young Christian. And as Paul continues to give this guidance and advice, he says in verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Some translations have, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believers." either way you go on that, and the term can go either way there, it can be to the believers or of the believers, in the end, what Paul's describing is being the example that God wants you to be. Whether you're being an example to your brethren, or you're being an example of a true servant of God to people outside, you are to be an example of a servant of God in conduct, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, in what ways is Timothy going to have to be an example to and of the believers? Well, as a servant of God in general, as a young evangelist, certainly, perhaps one day as a parent, as a father, perhaps one day as a spouse, certainly as a friend, maybe as a co-worker, in all of the different relationships in which we have in this world with other people, whether it's our brethren, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our nephews, our nieces, whatever it is, as we talked about this morning, we're always setting an example. There is no such thing as not having an example at all. Either we're setting a good example, a pattern, a showing forth a routine example that continues a set pattern, or we're being a bad example. Either we're following the example that God gives us, and in everything that we do, and everything that we deal with in life, the key component of being a persevering servant in life is consistency. Being consistent in our life and in our relationships with others. Having that demand in our heart and in our mind that I am going to be the parent that God wants me to be, or the grandparent, or the aunt or uncle. I'm going to be the spouse that God wants me to be. I'm going to be the friend, the co-worker, whatever it may be. The example that God wants of me in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That requires perseverance. It requires a mind that is determined to submit and serve God first, and then to serve my brethren, serve my family, serve my neighbor. All of those fall under that umbrella of serving God. But without perseverance, it's not going to happen. See, when I lack perseverance, what happens is my example in these roles of life becomes wildly inconsistent. Sometimes I'm doing what God wants me to do. Sometimes I'm being the example I should be. And then other times I just kind of give up and do my own thing for a while. And then I'm back at it. Back and forth, back and forth. See, perseverance isn't just a one-time occasion type thing. The character of perseverance is required from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we lay down to sleep at night. Because it's that quality that demands unremitting care in this application to our example to others. It also is required in the different situations and adversities we find in life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and starting in verse 8, Peter writes to the saints who are dealing with difficult times of persecution. Peter encourages them by telling them that the same issues are being faced by your brotherhood all over the world. But he warns them in verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." In contrast to the concept of perseverance of the saints, meaning once I'm saved, I can't be lost, notice how the idea of perseverance continually comes up, not only in our example, but now in resisting Satan. That's not a one-time thing either, is it? We're constantly facing trial and tribulation, and in this context, persecution at times. Maybe not the same persecution in our country as what they faced in the New Testament. But we face people who mock us. We deal with people who roll their eyes at us. We deal with people who don't want to have anything to do with us because we believe in God and there are certain aspects of our character and aspects of our conduct we don't involve ourselves in with the things of others because we seek to serve God. Persecution can take many forms. But Peter says in verse 9, resist Satan, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're not the only one going through that. But you have to be steadfast. You have to persevere. You have to be determined that I'm going to be faithful to God and I don't care what man does to me. I don't care how much they make fun of me. I don't care how these people who once were my friends now make fun of me and refuse to hang out with me. I don't care. I'm going to serve God. Jesus told us. He told his disciples this was going to happen. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 12, or verse 22, Matthew 10 verse 22, Jesus says, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Notice Jesus uses the term endures. Peter uses the term resist, be steadfast. All of those go back to the quality of perseverance. It all goes back to that unremitting care, in this case, to remain faithful despite persecution. In James chapter 1 and in verse 12, James describes temptation. This is, temptation can provide its own type or persecution can provide its own type of temptation. But temptations of any kind, from any source, James says earlier in chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Well, I don't enjoy temptation, and I don't think you do either. But he doesn't say to enjoy it, as in take pleasure in it. He says count it all joy. And we've talked about joy before and the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is an emotion. Sometimes you have reason to be happy, sometimes you don't have reason to be happy. It just comes and goes. But joy lasts. Joy endures because joy is the recognition that I am blessed. And so when James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, he explains in what way is going through temptation a blessing to me. Because, as he goes on to say, knowing that the trial of your faith produces patience. It produces patience. Well, remember we talked about patience and its relationship to perseverance. Patience is the outward manifestation of perseverance. Perseverance is that inner character, that inner quality that refuses to yield in the face of temptation. And it insists on faithfulness to Jehovah. And as I go through temptations, as I go through trials, when I continue to remain faithful to the Lord, my perseverance becomes stronger. My patience grows. And so in chapter 1 and in verse 12 of James, James says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, I want you to notice something. Remember, we've mentioned this before, John chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus says, if you love me, what are you going to do? You're going to keep my commandments. And we have people in our religious world, we have friends and neighbors who all say they love Jesus. Yet Jesus himself says, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. You see, a lot of our friends and neighbors aren't willing to go that far. They're willing to say the words, but they're not willing to actually do what he says. Now notice what James here says in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures, there's our perseverance, temptation. For when he has been approved, when it's all said and done, he'll receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So in addition to, if I love Jesus, I'm going to keep his commandments, or maybe I guess you could say part of those commandments. Notice what James describes as being those who love God. are the ones who endure temptation. If I claim to love Jesus, if I claim to love God, what am I going to do? I'm going to endure temptation. I'm going to persevere. I'm not going to constantly fall all the time to every single temptation that comes my way. I'm going to demand of myself strength in times of trial because I love God, because I love the Lord. And the Lord has told me, you will be blessed. You will receive a crown of life. And if you love me, you have to keep my commandments. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 3, Paul, in this second letter to Timothy, presumably his last letter before Timothy died, or before Paul died, Paul writes to Timothy and offers up guidance in terms of the types of things he's going to have to go through. He talks about being a farmer in chapter 2. He talks about being a soldier here in chapter 2. He talks about being an athlete. But as it pertains to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ in verse 3, he says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So what would be a bad soldier then? It would be the opposite. One who doesn't endure hardship. One who doesn't persevere. One who doesn't put unremitting care to their example, to their situations in their life, the relationships they have with other people, to their willingness to go through trials and tribulations. That would be a bad soldier of Christ. A good soldier endures. He perseveres. He remains steadfast despite hardship. We can talk about the prophets and the example that they set for us all day long. How that the prophets over and over again encountered hardship. Whether it was persecution from people who didn't want to hear what they had to say. Whether it was things that happened in siegings of cities. They were constantly bombarded with hardship and trial. And yet the prophets remained faithful to the Lord in spite of all of it. That's perseverance. In fact, James himself mentions that perseverance in relationship to the prophets. He talks about the perseverance of the prophets and the perseverance of Job. He describes that character, that quality, without which we cannot get to heaven. We can't make it without perseverance. So then, what other aspects in life must the servant of God persevere? Well, in our service to God, there are some specific points in which we must persevere. For instance, in teaching. Some people think that teaching, or quote-unquote evangelizing, is the job of the preacher solely. But as we notice in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, Paul describes how the Lord has established elders and teachers and evangelists and prophets and so forth for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Not to do the work for them, but to equip the saints to teach the gospel. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 17, Peter says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand," he's talking about the persecutions and so forth that they are enduring as well, "beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." Notice how Peter, he tells these brethren, you know what's going to happen. You know the trials you're going to face. They've already been facing trial. He says, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. You have to persevere in the truth. But notice how he says to deal with that. How he says to handle that. Well, how am I supposed to deal with the error of the wicked? How am I supposed to know what's error? He says in verse 18, you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what you do. To work at anything requires perseverance. When I was growing up, my grandfather would put me to all kinds of manual labor that I hated. And Pop, he didn't like to do manual labor later in the day. He liked to do it at like 5 and 6 in the morning. And I'm not a morning person. So we kind of butted heads a lot when he was trying to get me up. But I remember one summer, I worked the whole summer with him. And he was taking me out to paint the brick on one of these warehouses where the semis back up to unload all their boxes and stuff. And I'm out there and I am dead tired. I mean, I'm just so sleepy. It's 6:30 in the morning. It's cold. I don't want to be out there. He puts the paint, he puts the rollers and everything. He hands me the thing and he's going to stand there and supervise as he always did. So I started and I would do it, but I was doing it half-heartedly, or maybe not even no-heartedly at all. I was doing it because he told me to do it. I wasn't doing it to do a good job. And after about 5 or 10 minutes, he took the brush for me. He started to pick everything up. He says, get back in the truck. Let's go home. If you're not going to do the job right, we're not going to do it at all. And I remember feeling a little guilty because, I mean, my grandfather, he's older and he can't do a lot of this stuff himself. So I got myself energized. I said, well, look, give me another chance. And so I went at it and did it right. But what that required of me was to say to myself, my grandfather has certain expectations. And I can't just go through the motions and meet those expectations. It's not going to work. Because if my heart's not in it and I'm not determined to do the job that I know he wants me to do, it's not going to matter. He's not going to accept it. When it comes to serving God, God has expectations. And he has laid those expectations out for us. But what he demands of us is wholehearted perseverance, commitment, and determination. He demands of us that we give ourselves, for instance, as what Peter says, to God's word, to learn and grow. You will not, let me repeat this because it's important. You will not grow sitting here on Sunday morning for an hour. You will not grow sitting here for 2 hours. You will not grow if the only time you touch a Bible is on Wednesday and Sunday. It's not going to happen. The only way we grow is by committing ourselves to the Word of God. By having that determination, that unremitting care to growing and learning. So that we are prepared when we hear something that isn't right, we can identify it. We can acknowledge that that's not what God's Word says. And then, ultimately, we can do what Paul tells Timothy to do. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Everything you've heard me teach, everything that now you're teaching, commit it to faithful men who then they can teach others. Because it doesn't end at apostles, it doesn't end at elders, it doesn't end at evangelists. It's supposed to be for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry so that we all can teach the gospel. How can I teach someone if I don't know it myself? It's not going to work. It's the blind leading the blind. That requires commitment. Commitment to teach, commitment to obey, As Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9, Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good. Well, what's the opposite of growing weary? It's persevering. Persevering doesn't mean that I'm not tired. What Paul means by growing weary is don't stop. I could be absolutely tired. I could be exhausted, as the prophets often were. But did they stop? No. It may take every ounce of strength we have just to get through the day. But perseverance demands that we continue to do good, as God has defined doing good. For in due season, Paul says, we will reap if we do not lose heart. In Acts chapter 2, the early saints, the first Christians, in Acts chapter 2 after the day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, that's doctrine, in their fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. They persevered in it. They continued in it. They put unremitting care to following what the apostles told them to do. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, after going through that whole list of all these faithful people, back in chapter 11, the chapter of faith, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's perseverance. That is that commitment and determination that I am going to get to heaven no matter what. No matter what man may do to me, no matter what life may do to me, I'm going to do what God wants. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, one of the often left out pieces of equipment that the soldier of Christ has, verse 18, as Paul ends talking about the equipment of the soldier of Christ, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's like Paul emphasizes and then double emphasizes the importance of praying always. Because prayer helps us be steadfast. And the irony here is that Paul is saying prayer is going to help you be steadfast. It's going to help you persevere, but you must persevere in prayer. Put unremitting care to praying always. He tells the Romans the same thing in Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And then when it comes down to it, God, through the inspiration of the writing of the Old Testament and the New Testament, through the Holy Spirit giving us His Word, we have examples of people we can look to. People that we know have been faithful and persevered through far more terrible times than we'll face. Paul, for instance, in fact, Paul even mentions others in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 17. He says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul wasn't just saying, just me. He says, but use my example and all of those who persevere and are faithful to God. Use us as a pattern. Think about Job. And yeah, we could talk about Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, but what about Job chapter 23? Job himself says, Job chapter 23 and verse 11, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job says this in the midst of having lost his children, having lost his livelihood, his servants and his livestock, having lost his friends to an extent, because they're all saying, well, Job, obviously you've done something wrong. His wife has turned on him, and now his health is gone. He's got boils from head to foot. And Job says, I have and will continue to persevere. He goes on to say in chapter 27 and in verse 3, as long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Verse 5, far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I will hold fast and will not let it go. My heart will not reproach me as long as I live. You read those words and notice the declarations. He's not wishy-washy. He's not back and forth, back and forth. I will not. You know what that is? That's perseverance. That is the determination and the commitment that I'm going to be faithful. And you guys can keep saying all you want to that I've done something wrong, but I haven't. And I'm going to continue to be faithful to God. As he told his wife, shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity? But ultimately, the best example we have been given of perseverance is Jesus himself. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, again, Peter talking about persecution, but notice he uses Jesus as the example. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Verse 22, he quotes from Old Testament, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. Imagine how much strength that took. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Imagine how much strength that took. But committed himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There is no better example of perseverance than Jesus. What was it Jesus said in the garden? He is so anxious over what he's about to endure. He prays three times, let this cup pass from me. But then what does he say? Not my will, but thine be done. That's perseverance. That's the determination, the commitment, the unremitting care, the steadfastness to fulfill the Father's will. What is the duty of man? What's the meaning of life? I mean, bards have waxed poetic and songs and in ballads for centuries, asking the question, what's the meaning of life? Ultimately, the meaning of life, Solomon gave it to us hundreds and hundreds of years ago. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he tells us, fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. This is what we're here for. This is the meaning of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. Will you do that this morning? Will you commit yourself to being a persevering servant of God, committed, putting unremitting care to serving him acceptably with reverence and godly fear? For those of us, those of you who are not Christians, those of you who haven't been baptized, to have your sins washed away, what does Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay, well, what is one of his commandments? In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you want to be saved this morning? You can be. For those of us who are Christians, maybe we're not persevering like we should. Maybe we're going through difficult times and it's waxing on our perseverance, on our strength. No matter what happens in life, no matter how much sorrow we go through, one thing we have, the comfort that Seth mentioned in his prayer, which, that God comforts us with, is that everlasting hope of heaven. That hope that is promised to us by God if Revelation 2 and 3, we overcome. Will you persevere today? If so, come forward as we stand and sing.